Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
I'm Jeff. That's Tom. It's football season. It's finally here. Here we go. Let's find out what we got. Bruce Arians' debut with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at least for a game that matters. And, how excited are you, Tom Wang? How excited are all of you within the sound of my voice? It's finally, this is a sort of a fact-finding mission. You know, seasons you always look at as, I hope we have a good one. I'd rather win more games than we lose, you know, all that stuff. But really, this has so much more intrigue with the new coaching staff, with, you know, the questions surrounding Jameis Winston's future. Also, where we're weak and what has to be done to grow into a Super Bowl contending team. It all starts now.
Yeah, I think given that San Francisco's got a good defensive line and the last real taste you had of the starters in the preseason was a bad one in your mouth for offensive line play, that's something I look at, and I'm not sure that we're going to play poorly in that area because, again, Cleveland looked to be in a different place and mindset than we did. And I think we'll adjust out of it in case there are issues or if there are issues. But I'm just I'm fascinated by all the chatter around the team, and up here in Tallahassee, we're also a Buccaneers radio affiliate. So with that comes some contacts down there where you can get some inside intel, and it's nothing crazy, but you do get a feel for what the building is like. And by all accounts, there's a level of professionalism with this coaching staff, a sense of empowerment in the locker room that players know where they're supposed to be, know what they're supposed to do at any given time, their structure. And so I want to see how that plays out on the field, all the while being concerned that, you know, personnel-wise, we're not the deepest team in the league by a long shot.
So, well, and that's certainly, Tom, where you say, okay, you try to temper expectations centered around what you have and what you don't. And I think reasonable fans, you know, disappointment only happens when expectations aren't met. And so what is a reasonable expectation as we, you know, launch the season here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win-loss record? Well, some of that is really a moving target. It's sort of a situation where you have to monitor your starting lineup each week and see who all's healthy and who's not. We do this all throughout the course of the season, but especially when you're thin, when you're not deep at certain positions. And the Bucs have that situation at a couple spots, critical spots. Obviously, you don't like to have that with your offensive line, but I think that's where they're at. And so it's hard to pin down a number that you feel real good about. But I said during the last Scuttlebucks that I think 8-8 is a good goal here. After the nightmare of the last couple of seasons and starting anew, and you have an entirely different philosophy on defense, I would say if you could get to 8-8 with the personnel problems that you have and the schedule being as daunting as it is, we'd be pretty happy with that.
There's no doubt. You know, I do think this team can win 9 games, maybe.
Sure.
But that can and should and will, those are all different words. It's capable of doing that, but you need some injury luck in the right spots. The good news is, at least this week, you're getting really positive indicators that Vita Vea and Levante David are going to be back on the field. Even if they're not out there for the entire game, whatever reps they can give you are invaluable in week one, especially when you're breaking in a rookie linebacker and Devin White. Having a veteran segment mate in Levante David would be wonderful. And then if you're trying to obviously win the battle in the trenches, series in and series out, and Ndamukong Suh can't do it by himself. The reason we brought him in and we constructed this defense the way we did is because we felt like we could pair Sue this season with Vita, and that would get us the results. So the fact that he feels no pain, which is what he told the media on Tuesday in the breakout interview, no pain. They wanted to be cautious last week, so that's why they waited until yesterday for him to start participating. Okay, I like starting off the season like this rather than two of your four best players are doubtful or they're straight up just not going to play.
Yeah, I said... you know, when Vita Vea went down, I was devastated at the time because I just thought back to the end of last year, Tom, and what an impact he made for this defense. It changed the way the Bucs played, and that was in the midst of a terrible season. He was one of the very few guys, once he got healthy and got out there, you began to see, okay, maybe this is not going to be a bust. This could be a difference maker. It certainly led to certain personnel decisions, obviously.
Well, and yes, absolutely. Yeah, perhaps a reason somebody else is somebody's wearing 93 this year instead of the guy who was wearing it last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and this is a really positive development. Even if he only gives you partial reps this game, you know, the scuttle, for lack of a better term, unfortunately.
Nicely done, sir.
No, I'm pissed at myself for that. I couldn't. It's backed into a corner.
Couldn't help yourself, yeah.
Was that he was going to miss up to a month of the season.
Right.
So if you get him for anything in game one, that is a crazy good bonus. Now, Levante David, they were a little bit more optimistic about, and obviously getting him back and hopefully for full reps would be wonderful. But Vita is ahead of schedule, and how often have we said that watching Tampa Bay Buccaneers football over the last 5-6 years?
Well, and let's just say this. I actually think while every NFL game is one you could lose, we certainly recognize that the difference between the best teams and the worst teams in this league a far cry different, you know, standpoint or viewpoint, if you will, in college than, say, the pros. Pros, bad teams beat good teams all the time. The talent level is such that really it can happen, as they say, cliche-wise, any given Sunday. But I like this matchup for Tampa Bay to start. And, of course, I think if you're projecting 8-8 or certainly anything better, you had this down in the win column. I mean, when you went through W's and L's, hard to do in the NFL. I get it. Changes so much week to week. But if you were doing that, you did mark this down in the W column. And so I do think it's vital. It's not a must win. It's the NFL, obviously. You got 16 of these, and you can lose. Hell, you can lose 7 of them and make the playoffs. You can lose 8 of them and make the playoffs, and in theory, more than that. But the point is, I would tell you that, you know, I think this is one the Bucs need to get if they're going to strive anything close to being a potential wild card team or a 500 team.
Yeah, outside of the fact that it's a stupid 4 o'clock kick in Tampa in September, which I feel like is ripe for a weather delay, I'm mentally prepared for this game to be disjointed, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But sure, let's keep scheduling. I mean, we got another one in 2 weeks against the Giants at 4 o'clock.
I know how you feel about this.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Effing wonderful. But it is a home game to start the season. And typically, we do play well in week one. We do. We open strong. I mean, I remember a couple years ago.
We beat the Saints all the time in week one, it seems like.
And we beat the Bears a couple years ago, and that was a tattooing. We had a defensive touchdown. Tariq Cohen fumbled on a punt return and gave us a short field, and it was
a
quick score.
Forgot about that, Tom. You are correct.
Yeah.
That was a tattooing.
Opening week. Well, that's because I remember these games. I'm not full of sorrow at that point. Usually opening week is good to us. Let's just hope.
You haven't been crestfallen yet, right?
No. Yeah. It was years and years ago. Jameis... remember his first game against Marcus Mariota?
I do. We're running interception on the first play, yes.
We're running Lovie Smith's high school defense, and he throws a pick six.
And they're laughing at us. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, as soon as it happened, the play developed. It was like super slow motion. I went, no.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
that was a long day.
That was ominous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then we looked like a high school team out there, and I'm thinking, Lovie, the game has passed you by, sir.
Marcus is prepared for this in middle school.
This is not good. We got to show him something a little bit different here. Anyhow, yeah, no, I'm excited. I think the Bucks need to get off on the right foot here and gain some positive momentum. They haven't had any in so long. It seems like forever since you really felt like the team was moving forward. And that's a big part of this year, too. It's not, look, I would love to win 12 games and be a playoff contender, win the division and make a run. And we all want that. And we do know that it is a weird league. 1 in 15 teams have turned around the next year and won divisions. It's happened. You've watched teams lose 13 games and turn around and win 11. It's happened in this league. It's a salary cap league. It can happen. But it's not likely. And so what I really would like to see is just show me real growth that we're finally planting our feet in the ground and we're moving forward with it. We're taking a big step forward with it, not backwards. Every year, it seems like at the end of the year, I'm looking at you across this glass. We're in a studio right now and we're about to do the Scuttlebucks or we're doing the afternoon show, whatever it is we're doing. And we just both look beat up and tired from watching our damn football team. And I would like that to not be the case this year, to where I could say to you in earnest, not just, you know, hopeful fandom, we look better, Tom. Yeah. I think we're getting better. I'd like to be able to say that.
We'll take we look better. And if by the end of the season you mean about the third week of October, then yes. Yes, it is. It is an annual occurrence. But I do believe that the resurgence, if there is to be one, the moving forward feeling, I think it starts with the defense. I got to be honest. From what I saw,
with Todd Bowles, yes.
The competitiveness from the defensive backs, the different angles we create and the pressures we create, I don't think it's going to be night and day as in we're an elite defense in the NFL, but I think it's going to be refreshingly aggressive. It may give some stuff up, but it's going to be refreshingly aggressive.
You're going to hear from Bruce Arians. You'll hear that in the next segment. I really look forward to playing that audio. We've got 5 good minutes that Tom chopped up over there from his press conference, and I think we can touch on each of the points that he makes. There's good nuggets in here. You know, one of the things I've liked already about Bruce Arians is he will shoot it to you straight, man. He's going to sit there and tell you some things that maybe ruffle some feathers, that certainly are not PC, and they're to the point. And I think if I'm a player, and I know for a fact Jameis likes him a lot, if I'm a player, that's what I want. Where do I stand, man?
Yeah.
What do you really think about us, this unit, this team, that game, this play, me, whatever it is? I mean, these are grown-ups. This is a professional football team.
Yeah,
you should be able to address these things accordingly.
Yeah, he's transparent as can be on the dais. He's full of insights every once in a while, some philosophical wisdom or X's and O wisdom. But he doesn't shy away from questions. The only time he really does is if he doesn't have to talk about injuries. Well, I don't have to talk about injuries yet, so let's, you know.
Well, and if you're a coach, why would you want to? I mean, yeah. It's
And the only other thing I think that I've seen out of him where I go, I don't know if he's saying everything he believes. He's trying to be positive. I think this offseason he's tried to be as positive as he can because he sees a broken, fractured culture. And he's trying to teach him how to win. But he's trying to teach him how to win through confidence. So I don't know that he always speaks as negatively as he could, but he's blunt now. I mean, he has said through 2 weeks of the preseason, it'd be really easy to get down to 65 or 60 players right now in terms of cuts. And they got like 95 people on the roster. So, yes, he is refreshing.
He is. By the way, this is something you should know out there and podcast land. Attention all first responders, through September, Bill Curry Ford, doubling the Ford rebate available to you. That's $2,000 off, because that's what first responders mean to Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford has been Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years. Shop now, BillCurryFord.com, or at their friendly showroom 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. That's BillCurryFord.com. More of the Scuttlebucks. We'll hear from Bruce Arians next.
Let me tell you something, girl,
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Nice. That's the mood. That's the mood as we get set to kick it off. Bruce Arians addressed the Collective Media. And in doing so, we snatched the audio from Buccaneers.com and said, hey, man, these are some good insights. I'd like to talk about this. I'd like to play these and then talk about this a little bit. So let's hear from head coach Bruce Arians right now.
Coach, what's changed for you since the last time you took the field in a regular season game?
I've delegated a whole lot more. Yeah, riding a golf cart a whole lot more. And But I think the excitement of the game is at a much higher level this week than it was that week.
Coach, I noticed you put such an emphasis on after every preseason game, you know, and it's always evaluating, but it's always win, get the win, could have had the win. Is that how you've always been, or was it because you're coming into a franchise that's had no losses?
I think your first 3 years, you have to establish a winning attitude and a winning culture. After your third year, can you let's just get to the first game healthy with everybody, and because I know what I have. I think teaching guys and finding ways to win, whether it's the guys that got cut or not, it still permeates through your locker room.
Bruce, when you look at Byron Leftwich's preseason calling plays, how did he get better? What were some of the areas you noticed where he really improved?
I think he had a plan. He stuck to his plan. He did a good job of communicating with the quarterbacks, each one what they like. We do it a little bit different in the Saturday night meeting. We let them pick the plays. You know, third down, red zone, these are the plays I want called first. That's the ones you're going to call. You're not going to beat a guy in the head and say, well, I really like this play. And he says, I don't like that play, but I'm going to call it anyway. It ain't going to work. So he did a great job with that.
Back to James real quick. You've made no secret that you've been in his corner and you believe in him. But how important is it for you as a coach, not just with him but any quarterback, to convey that belief to your guy?
Oh, I think it's paramount. There has to be a trust factor when he comes off the field and we talk. Tell me what you saw. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what you saw so that we can have an open dialogue, a true dialogue. And the same thing with Byron. You know, it's now a three-way street with the three of us. So feeling out what play do you not want in this playbook this week? We got thousands. Give me 10 you don't even want to see in the playbook. They're not in there, you know, that kind of stuff.
We'll know more later this week, but if Vita is able to play, what does he give you with Sue, those two guys together?
I mean, that's a powerful inside. Not space eaters. I mean, these are penetrating guys that can rush the passer and eat up blocks and just free those linebackers up. But they can make plays themselves.
Bruce, the only change on the offensive line is having Kaepernick at right guard. How much, I mean, he's somebody we thought might be a question mark in the spring. How much has he solidified his spot and your confidence?
I mean, it's solid. I mean, it's his job, and he'd have to lose it. Hopefully he doesn't do that. And he's made steady progress. Got beat in the Cleveland game a couple of times, but he's made really good progress.
Bruce, can you speak to the challenges that the 49ers front four presents for your offensive line?
Yeah, how many of them? Yeah, Armstead, Buckner, D. Ford, Bosa. I mean, they're all number ones up there, and each and every one in themselves can wreck a game. You know, when they added D, you know, I happened to do the Kansas City Cardinals game last year, and he just totally took the game over. So he presents a challenge with his speed rush. Nick, if he, you know, I'm sure he's going to play. He's a different type of guy. But Armstead, Buckner, those guys are very, very talented guys.
What did you think of Devin White's preseason?
Oh, I thought it was extremely solid. You know, as far as running the show, doing all those things, I don't get into tackles and all that. But he did his job. He covered his guy. And, you know, we didn't do some of the things we'll probably do in the season with him, but I thought he handled that part of it, and that's all we wanted. Get out there, get accustomed to the helmet, Collins in defense. Teams hurried up. He handled it. He's a poised young guy. So
offensively against the defense, is it toughest when a defense has such a good front four like that? Is that the toughest thing to scheme
around? Well, the big thing is, you know, I learned a long time ago, you can keep all the guys in the block, chip and do all that. And then you throw against three against seven, and nobody's open. You're getting sacked anyway. So get them out, throw it fast. You have to run the ball against a team that has pass rushers and make them stop the run to set up the play action and keep it balanced. You can't. If you get into a passing frenzy with these guys, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and that's something that happened an awful lot. Thanks to Buccaneers.com for the audio. That's something that happened an awful lot in Jameis's time last year, year before. This has been a situation where the Bucs find themselves trailing frequently because the defense has been abysmal, and then they become very, very predictable. They got to throw it the rest of the day, and that puts your quarterback in an untenable situation. It's not as if the Bucs have had a great offensive line. He's getting hit, forcing balls. You end up throwing the ball to the wrong team, holding the ball too long, getting hit, strip sack, that kind of stuff. I think the balance that you hear Coach Arians talking about there is so critical. And every football team, whether you're talking about the National Football League, you're talking about NCAA football, high school football, hell, I coach junior midgets. Well, I don't think that's what they call it anymore, peewee football, sorry. But the point would be, I wanted to start running the football early and often so that I could throw off a play action, and I was doing that with 12-year-old kids. I mean, that's football 101, but we've just never been able to accomplish that. And I think there's been a lack of commitment to it, Tom, and that's the bigger problem here is that they haven't had a philosophy of wanting to achieve that. I believe he's absolutely right. When you've got really quick and strong rush-ins and tough tackles inside, you got to wear them out by forcing them to get off blocks and make tackles in the run game. And you got to run right at them to negate their speed, first of all. And so that will put them on their heels, and you get an opportunity then to throw the ball down the field off the play action. They have to honor it.
Yeah, I think, honestly, in watching Ronald Jones in the preseason, he looks like somebody who isn't afraid of contact, who is a little bit more sure of where he's going, what the play calls for, where the cutback lanes are. It seems like the game has slowed down a little bit for him. Now, that's preseason. NFL Sundays are a little bit faster than NFL Thursday nights in the preseason. So we'll see. But I do think that that's something that if we can establish this weekend, it increases our chances of winning threefold.
Well, they'll win the game if they don't turn it over, provided they actually establish the run that you're talking about.
Yeah,
they'll win the game.
Because the problem is passing down, second and third down, and distance to go. I don't trust our tackles. This is a dynamic front four.
I don't trust our guards.
I trust a guard.
A guard.
Center's okay.
Center's average.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't want to be down a distance obvious against a good front four. I just think we're so damn slow on it at the tackle position that, speed rush is the – Brian Burns might tune us up. The thing is, he's a one-trick pony, but that one-trick might work.
Oh, when we play
two.
Carolina?
Yeah, the next week that we do this, it'll be just the day before the game.
Yeah, we're going to pound Carolina, Tom. Let's not worry about that.
Well, hopefully we pound San Francisco running the ball right at him, because I do think the thing that Kappa might do a little bit better, obviously, is maul in the run game. Jansen's mean in the run game. We know Marpet's really good there. I think you're absolutely right. If you can somehow establish a little bit of run on first and second down, we know Peyton Barber is more of a bruiser. I guess my whole point that I'm arriving at is I think the top two backs, Barber we know, and Jones, are going to be markedly tougher as a duo than we've been seeing these last couple of years with the likes of a Charles Sims coming in.
Yeah, and if he happened to to frequently hand the ball to a Peyton Barber, that'd be all right. He was my second to last pick in my fantasy draft last night.
We
so
really
we got a little
there?
Peyton Barber action. I had to have some Bucks on the team, baby. I had to get a Buccaneer
on
this
next
day.
You got a golf league you want to plug before this podcast starts?
That said, by the way, I just really like to listen to Bruce Arians talk football. And I also think he'd be a fun guy to work for. He would demand a lot. I think he does demand a lot. I think he doesn't mince words when he's disappointed in something that you've done. And I think he's a guy that is also the type, when you play well, to tell you about that too.
Oh, that's something I've seen throughout, camp, is talk about behind the scenes, whether the players are talking about it, the other coaches. I've seen Ira and Derek Brooks talk about it on the Tampa 2 feature.
Mm-hmm.
That he's making a habit of, in meeting rooms, if you're Jameis or if you're a guy who got cut 2 weeks ago, you heard about it if you had a problem. And you can hear it in the way he addresses the media. Everything's so matter-of-fact. It's like, oh, well, of course, this is the truth.
Yeah.
I am sure he's dismissive when he's not happy. I'm sure he's quite dismissive, and that's fine. But
you don't have time, man.
But guess what? He's protecting his players at the dais. You heard it. I heard it in that 5 minutes. He doesn't believe that Alex Kappa
can play.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does. I wrote down when I was listening to the audio some things that I wanted to go over, and when it got to that point in the audio, I went, does not believe in Kappa. That's what I wrote.
At least he's got his back at the podium.
Oh, well, what do you – yeah.
You can – well – the last guy didn't.
The last guy didn't always do that, I understand, but I don't know that he necessarily rolled everybody. He seemed to roll his quarterback a lot, but he didn't roll many other folks. Let me say this, Devin White. a lot of folks down there in Tampa Bay a little nervous about the pick because he didn't flash much, if you will, this preseason. It was nice to hear him talk about they didn't need him to. They wanted to make sure he understood the defense, wanted to make sure he could lead the defense, be a captain of the defense, get his teams in the right spot, his players in the right spot, respond to tempo changes, all that stuff. It was in there. And they didn't, moreover, they didn't show anything. They weren't going to show teams. That's talk about this all the time with the preseason, man. You cannot overreact to the preseason, except for if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, because that kid ain't going to make it in the NFL at quarterback. Having said that, if you're watching this, they're bland. They're not running anything. They're not giving you any exotics. They're not going to show you the many ways that they might want to utilize Devin White. Why would they? So, you know, if we get about 5-6 weeks in and the guy is awfully quiet, you don't really call his hear his name called all that often in game, you don't remember any impact plays, all right, let's have a conversation about how this is working out, his transition from college to the pro game. But in the preseason, no. Stay healthy, get reps, understand the defense, get guys lined up, show that you can lead, and let's go.
Yeah, I think it's a mild concern at the highest level for me. It's at least got my attention a little bit, but it's not something where I'm like, oh, God, he's a bust.
Right. You can't do that just now.
That's a little much. Plus, it's going to help having Lavonte David out there, for a lot of reasons, not just to keep him calm, but – you know, if you can trust where somebody is going to go, that means you'll do your job all the better. And I think you can trust Lavonte David to be where he needs to be. And also, it should be easier for this kid to make the transition because he's used to a three-down lineman front.
Yeah, I actually think he's going to be fine. I loved him coming out of college. I thought it was the right pick. I was excited about the pick. I still am. Let's watch actual regular season games before we start talking about whether a guy's a bust or not. We'll go ahead and see how he does this weekend.
And it could be a great ruse, but I don't think it is because of these guys, they're bona fides of where they've been and what they've done. But even Todd Bowles, when he was interviewed this camp, I mean, he had a wry smile. He said, how much are you showing? He's like, not much.
I'm not going to show you anything.
Right. I don't think Bruce wanted to say that. He was trying to find himself. That long pause, he's like, well, we haven't shown everything.
Yeah. Well, think about this. I mean, it's why I was laughing after the first couple of Giants preseason games and people were lauding Daniel Jones as Joe Montana. Like, he didn't see a blitz. They were in cover two. If he doesn't hit those passes, you've got nothing. You're in real trouble.
Correct. Now, the one thing I'll say about him, though, is that some of those throws were into very tight windows, which was impressive. Now, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to him in week three. I saw him the first two.
We'll see if he can play, Tom. I'm going to guess that.
You think he even plays against us in week three? Preseason prediction?
No.
Yeah, I think it's probably still Eli.
Yeah, it's still Eli.
And then hold on tight for Saquon.
Well, that's all you do. You got. I mean, it's Saquon left, Saquon right. Whoa. Throw the ball to
Every
Saquon.
Every time he's got the ball, you're like,
he's really good. Man, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for him. I love what he had to say about Vita and how that really sets up a powerful inside there, and I agree with him. Hopefully Sue plays hard. That's sometimes in question.
He's on a one-year deal at least. If you're going to get Sue, get him on a one-year.
Yeah, get him on a one-year. Get him motivated to produce, to get a big contract or something along those lines. And then finally, I wanted to address really quickly, you know, I think he is 100% spot on when he says, Bruce Arians that is, that you really do have to establish a winning culture in your first couple of years. I mean, you just do. We talk about this all the time, the college ranks. You know, we're in the midst of covering Florida State University, where Willie Taggart has yet to establish a winning culture, and we're beginning to wonder if the outside noise becomes too much to overcome with each loss, with each setback. And I think that sometimes happens, right? If you don't garner momentum early when people are apt to buy in and be excited about what you're bringing to the table, that's the whole reason the last coach is gone and you're there. Usually is because they needed to make a change. So folks want to buy in. They want to drink the Kool-Aid. They want to win football games, and they believe you're the guy to do it. And if you don't early,
they want to buy season tickets at Buccaneers.com. Single games are available.
You know what I mean? It's just I think that's what happens. Yeah. It's frustrating.
I'm just I admire that. I know this is a Buccaneers podcast, but I admire how restrained that synopsis was of what's going on in Tallahassee and how brief it was. That's impressive.
Well, just wanted to allude to something that is in our wheelhouse.
That was the clear Pepsi of colas in terms of your take compared to day to day up here.
Oh my goodness! It's the Scuttlebutt. Stay with us.
shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
There it is. Van Halen means it's time to talk to Lee DeKemper. JoeBucksFan.com, the website. It is popping right now, I'm sure, as the season is nearly upon us. Lee, hello, sir. How the hell are you?
Jeff, how you doing? Hey, can't complain. We're NFL season kicks off shortly. Bucks, couple days away. It's going to be a fun time.
It's a real fun time. I feel like it's kind of Christmas in a sense that we got a gift. We don't know what it is, and we're unwrapping, and we're really excited. And whether or not we're satisfied really centers around what kind of expectations we have for said gift. And, you know, you and I talked last week. I thought realistically, given some personnel issues here, no matter how well they're coached or how well they execute, should be difficult to be able to get beyond, say, 8-8, 9-7 on the high end. And I still feel that way as we head into the season. But you know what? That would be a big leap forward, Lee. That would show me that the organization is done spiraling and that they have discovered the right chemistry, the right coach, the right relationship to help Jameis reach his potential, and obviously the rest of the team. And, you know, as we are on the eve of this, are you of the same mindset? Where are you at with this?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I think it's 8 wins or miraculously 9 wins. I think it's miraculously because I think the division is just that strong and the schedule is brutal. That schedule's awful where they're almost 2 months on the road. It's terrible. So if they're competitive, they're like 500 or maybe teasing with a wild card playoff berth, I think that's fantastic. And like you just said, that tells me the organization's pointed in the right direction. They have the right coach. They have, you know, everything's pointing up. The Glazers like to use the term arrow pointing up or arrow pointing down. If disaster happens, they're getting rid of people. So that would tell me arrow is pointing up at the end of the season.
Yeah, and they would establish a winning culture. They would establish a base to move forward where they could raise the floor a little bit here, and that'd be nice to see. Now, I want to ask you specifically about the team and about Jameis and about Bruce Arians, and I guess I'm getting a field report from you. I know you spoke with Jameis. Talk to me about your conversation. Talk to me about Jameis Winston here as we get set for the season and your thoughts on what he's had to say.
Well, interestingly, you know, Jameis has a habit, and I think we all know this, like before games he gets so hyped up that we wonder if that affects his play. And he was really calm at the podium today. You would think, you know, knowing Jameis being Jameis, he'd get excited, he'd have a couple of one-liner, but Jameis, sometimes his emotions, even at the podium, you could tell he's amped up, he's ready to go, he's hyped. Not so much today. I'm not saying he was dour or negative in any way, but he was composed is the best word I could describe. And I thought that was very interesting, and I know he's been asked this a bunch of times before, but I asked it again only because Arians was on SiriusXM NFL radio last night saying the biggest problem he saw with Jameis in the past had nothing to do with his skills or his ability. He said, Arians said, Jameis was putting the world of pressure on his shoulders, thinking he and he alone was responsible for wins and losses. The team was so terrible. And Arians has made that a big focal point this past offseason, is to let Jameis know, you're part of a team. It's not up to you to win. It's not up to you to lose. Just do your job. And Jameis was talking about that. And it seems like that's carried over into his overall demeanor as well. He joked today. He had a couple of one-liners. Talked about if you play on the defensive side of the ball, the NFL, you have to have some screws missing. I was impressed that his overall demeanor was rather calm, as opposed to years past where he was like a racehorse ready for the gun.
Lee, it's a great point. Very astute, because we've covered Jameis for a long time, and that has been a criticism both Tom and myself have had of Jameis. He would do that in college. Now, ordinarily, his talent was such that didn't really matter. He'd go out and carve people up, but sometimes he was too amped even for those games. And certainly early on in his career, we saw numerous instances in which that affected his play on the field. And on the one hand, you love a guy to love the game of football. If you're trying to make somebody a franchise player, and he's going to lead your team, you want him to be in love with football. You want him to work harder than everybody else. You want him to do all those things that somebody who's excited about the game would do. But you also need him to calm down, to breathe, and to understand it's four quarters. It's not getting decided the first 10 plays here. Let's gather ourselves and create a rhythm and establish, the afternoon or the evening, whatever it might be. And so that's good to hear that, he's maturing in that way as well. I know that I think he's poised. If the offensive line holds up and there's an emphasis to run the football and create balance, I think he's poised to have a great season in terms of efficiency. He may not put up as big a numbers as he has early in his career, where he really did feel like he had to carry the team to wins and throw the ball excessively. They were always trailing, so he would stockpile a ton of yards and touchdowns and all that. But I think he could be far more efficient this year, cut down on the turnovers, make good decisions, check down when you have to, and have a huge season from a completion percentage standpoint, which has gone up every year he's been in the league. But then also you juxtapose that with a lack of turnovers, and all of a sudden you see a guy becoming a much more complete quarterback.
And my issue with the turnovers, personally, and this is just speaking for myself, the interceptions don't bother me
much.
I'm
the
not
fumbles,
saying they're good.
Lee, the fumbles I'm with but you on.
Fumbles. Fumbles drive me out of my – that drives me out of my mind. My mind. There we go. That and those things, that's self-inflicted. That's borderline carelessness. That could be overcome, I think. And the issue you're talking about with using running backs, checking down, I've seen that a lot more than in previous seasons. So I don't know if that's Arians' offense per se. I don't know if that's Arians getting through the Jameis, where, hey, man, don't worry about throwing the ball downfield. Don't force it. Let everybody, spread the wealth a little bit. Use your running backs. And I know Arians has told Jameis, use the running backs. And I know he's been emphasizing that as well. So, I don't know if that's Arians' offense, if that's Arians' teachings, which I guess technically is Arians' offense, or if the light is starting to click for – the light's coming on for Jameis. Maybe a combination of all those. I'm not sure. But it's nice to see that he's using all his weapons, not just the three or four receivers downfield.
All right, let's segue over to the defensive side of the ball, where they're getting a shot in the arm here. It looks like Vita's going to be able to go. That is certainly exciting to hear. Levante David is close to being full go, is from what I'm reading. And then in addition, you and I have talked before off the air. Arians has now addressed it again, and I want your thoughts on this. He's talked about the secondary being fixed, but he got more specific recently. What did he say about the secondary as to why he refers to it frequently as being fixed?
It was encouraging what he said. And he was asked that very specifically, that, hey, you've said the secondary is fixed. Why have you come to that conclusion? And he said, I've seen how they've executed in preseason games. And more importantly, I've seen how they've been able to get balls on or hands on the pass ball. And that I thought was interesting. He's seen enough broken up passes that is, okay, we're on the right path. We're getting better. I'm comfortable with these guys now. So that reassured me that he thought, okay, these guys can execute what we're asking them to do. They sure weren't executing last year.
No,
God help us what they were asking them to do.
Yeah, no, they haven't executed in a long time. I just want to note, because from one professional to another, how deftly you avoided saying hands on balls.
I made a point of saying pass balls, pass footballs specifically. I made a point of that. Otherwise, obvious conclusion comes to mind.
I'm so proud of you. I could hear it. I was waiting on it. I'm like, here it comes.
I think
and then
be,
you dodged it.
It was going to be balls and hands, I think.
Yeah, getting hands on balls, balls and hands. I was like, holy, what a
It's like a scratch and pull. It's fine.
We were like, man, this is going to be a very effective defense, I guess. I'm proud of you, buddy. I don't know that all of our listeners knew it, so I wanted to make sure I drew their attention to it. That's well done. That said, give me a prediction, buddy, before we wrap up. What do you think? I think if you believe this team's going to win 7, 8, 9 games, You probably put a W next to this one, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Steve, my business partner, JoeBucksFan.com, Steve Isbritz, we both are under of the mind that the Bucks are going to have any prayer of making a run for a wild card, or even better, they have to go 2-1 in the first three games, because that's when they go on the road for 2 months. And that's going to be a female dog, man. They could wash over that, however they can gloss over that as much as they want. That's going to catch up with them. You know, it's two trips to the West Coast and a trip to London included in that road trip. That's ugly. And this was the team, this was the game, the season opener against the 49ers that both Steve and I circled. If they're going to be 2-1 after three games, this has to be one of those wins. And to me, it comes down to offensive line. It's as simple as that. If the offensive line doesn't block like they did against Cleveland, then all bets are off. If the offensive line can give Jameis time come Sunday, I think they will do well. Granted, Jimmy GQ is a wild card. Is it going to be the terrible Jimmy GQ that played for the 49ers most of the preseason, and the guy who threw five picks in five passes in practice?
I think we lost.
GQ that they dropped a lot of money in his lap. But
yeah,
to me, it's the offensive line.
Yeah,
the offensive line gives Jameis time and can give some a little bit of creases for Ronald Jones to run through. I think the Bucks will be fine. And it all boils down to offensive line. How they play, I think, is how the Bucks will play Sunday.
I'm with you on this. I like it, but I think we're both going to see predict maybe a narrow victory here and get the season started on the right foot. Lee, always appreciate it, buddy, and of course. Folks out there listening, make sure you check out JoeBucksFan.com. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Jeff, thanks again. I appreciate it. We'll talk.
Absolutely. Real quick, always a reminder to thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer. Enjoy 30% off MSRP on 2019 Ford Mustang Eco. Look at that, a Ford Mustang Eco. Okay, it's yours for only $20,099 or lease one for $199 per month. Wow. Tom, I'm stunned by these offers.
These are preseason offers.
New and pre-owned vehicles of Bill Curry Ford feature their famous nationwide lifetime warranty, 10 years of roadside assistance, 1 year of oil changes, and more. Shop all the great discounts at BillCurryFord.com, including the 2019 Ford Ranger Crew Cab. Lease for only $189 per month. Wow. BillCurryFord.com. All right, back to you and me and talking about this game very briefly. I got us winning this game. I am worried. I agree with Lee about blocking it up.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say that every Sunday.
You'll know by the end of the first quarter if that's going to hold up or not, or if it's going to give you a fighting chance on a series here or there.
I agree. I think this game, and, you know, it's funny. You wait all off season for a game, and then you're probably going to know inside of three series.
Yeah, whether or not you're going to be in it.
Whether or not you have a chance to win the game,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And it's... You know, or you're going to have to rely on some football luck.
I just want to continue to see this defense fly to the ball. I think that's one thing that has been consistent in the preseason. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have more wrinkles for us to see. I believe Todd Bowles does have more wrinkles to implement. And, you know, maybe Devin White is at the center of a couple of those. Maybe he isn't. I don't really care. As long as somebody gets home, that's all that matters. But I think the attitude, the mentality of being able to close, as Lee was saying, getting your hand on the football, that's the key here, and I want to continue to see that because that can foster something. I mean, you don't have to be the Legion of Boom, but you know how that offense in Seattle, that crowd in Seattle fed off of those defenses,
yeah,
the
sure.
physicality
Absolutely.
That they played with.
Yeah.
If we're a little bit more physical
wow.
for once, I mean, we've been truly, honestly speaking, even in the heyday, we were more finesse than physical. We had some physicality to us
yes.
in our better years, but we were more about speed. If there's a little bit of toughness and edge, that's something we haven't seen in quite some time.
Well, that's why they drafted Devin White. I mean, and frankly, that's why you bring in a Sue. I mean, and guys
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
right? I mean, a nastiness to them and rugged. We're both going to pick the Bucks in a narrow victory and get off on the right foot here. I would just like to speak this into being, so I'm going to offer it to the ether there and just say, wouldn't it be nice to just beat their ass? Wouldn't you? I mean, how amazing would you think it to be
yeah.
if in game one, new regime, you take care of business and you throttle somebody. It's been a while.
Well, the first half in the last two seasons has been great of that opening game. I mean, New Orleans made it close and Fitzpatrick had to scramble for a first mm-hmm, down mm-hmm. in order to ice that game. But the Chicago game a couple years ago was a cakewalk. I was watching all the others. I go to a place where I can see eight games at once.
Vegas wall, baby.
And I was watching the other seven. I was like, all right, I'll check in, make sure that we're doing okay. We're wrapping it up over here. But this one's in the bag, baby.
All right, well, let's get ready to watch some football. We'll join you again next week. We'll react to this game. Hopefully, it's a pleasant reaction to a season-opening victory.
Quick turnaround next week. Yeah. Carolina Thursday night.
That's right. I forgot about all that. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks for listening to the Scuttlebucks. We'll talk to you next week. Go Bucks!